The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon. While it's meant to be comedic informative, sometimes we have to get into things like child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hellworld. This week, I am joined by Eric, the Deep State operative.
Hey, everyone. It's Sunday right now, so I just want to wish a belated happy Mother's Day, because by the time you hear this, it'll be long over.
Oh, it'll be like Friday. I'll be so lazy posting this most dated episode of Hellworld ever. And we're also joined by Steph. Hi, Steph.
Hello. Hi. I just wanted to say the documentary that I'm in, I got a good review from one of the hosts of Conspirituality who got to see it in Canada. And he said he liked it, and I'm very excited for a chance for when I get to see it. And
I just finished The Conspiracists, the Noelle Cook book, and I read the section where you get name dropped at the end of the book. So that was like fun. So I was like,
I sent a copy to my dad. Noelle signed it for him and I sent it off to him. And whenever I go to like some book event, I get a copy for Lenny. So yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's funny to know that like we have the celebrity conspiracist on our show. It's just, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's just listening for you.
Right.
It's like it's Steph and those two assholes.
Pretty much.
I actually got a friend through this show. Shout out to Ross at A Restless Native. He's a good buddy of mine. He comes to my weekly Zooms and stuff, and we text and stuff. So I actually got a friend through this podcast. So.
Yeah, hey, I think he's a mutual, because I think I recognize that name.
He's a great guy. He's got such a wonderful Scottish, what is it called, brogue?
Yep.
Scottish. Yeah,
there's some weird way to pronounce it, but that's the American way.
Yeah, that's how we say it. Like, Scottish-Irish brogue. There's an Irish wrestler in WWE who kicks people, and they call it the brogue kick, because I guess it yes. gives you a concussion so vicious you get an accent afterwards.
Oh, yeah. I thought maybe it was a bro reference.
No, I have no idea. I it was just an Irish one. My favorite thing is he has a backbreaker they call the Irish curse backbreaker, and it's like, I don't think that backbreaker gives you a tiny penis. Because if it did, that'd be devastating. I would not want to take that move. Oh, no!
It retreats inward.
Yes. Oh, no! I can feel it. I can feel it in my girth. I can feel it in my bowels. I can feel it in my tum-tum. It's not great. But
that bro thing, it kills me, because I was with this group of students at one point, and I called one of them dude, and they're laughing at me because they're like, oh, my God, you're so ancient. So I started calling them bro, and they hated that even more.
Excellent. That's the way it should be. Just giving kids the razzle dazzle. Make everything they enjoy uncool.
That's like, right.
Run into the classroom one day and be like, hey, everybody, 6'7". And just watch them seethe.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a middle-aged white man. Anything I touch turns to shit.
Right, exactly. You just gotta, you gotta ruin the cool factor for everything. It's just, that is your purpose in life as a middle-aged white guy. That's what it's all about.
So, that and the dad jokes.
Yes. So anyhow, we were looking for light and fluffy. I don't know if I have the sounder for the amuse-bouche anymore. Oh wait, I do. Here it is. Boom.
It's time for a light sampling of insanity. Get ready for the amuse-bouche.
Man.
I was wondering about those bumps. I haven't heard them in a long time.
Yeah, dog's age. Dog's age. Like, people are like, oh my God, he dusted that off. Holy shit, old school. The five people who've been listening to this whole time. Welcome, sixth listener to the show, because Knowledge Fight just ended. Welcome. Sorry. We're not going to go line by line through anyone's stuff here. We're just sort of riffing. We're not very scientific. We also don't have a villain origin story around Timothy Geithner. So there's big differences between us and the now defunct Knowledge Fight podcast. So yeah. But anyways, our Secretary of Transportation doing magical things.
Yes.
Truly.
He decided that in this age of high cost of food and skyrocketing oil prices, the what he should do was tell America, get on the road and drive. So he decided to film a documentary with his family for 7 months. It was a 7 month road trip this man went on. And like, as someone who has gone on many road trips, I mean, unless he like spent 2 weeks at Disney in the middle or something, I don't see how you could spend 7 months going from one end of this country to the other. Like, I mean, did he spend a week in Waldrug? How did that even work?
Well, when I listened to the iHeartRadio podcast, like Behind the Bastards and Weird Little Guys, I have to fast forward through the commercials and sometimes I just let them run, but he's been running an ad on Spotify about like,
Duffy
make
has.
Sure to buckle your seatbelts.
Yeah. And maybe I'm just old, but I liked it when I didn't know who the Secretary of Transportation was, you know?
Right. I mean, that's the thing, is that it sucks learning about politics because once you get into it, you now become like so immersed in what is actually a very niche like thing for people to engage in. The median voter couldn't name the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court if you gave them 10 tries. Like, people who actually impact our elections are so incredibly low information, it would make your head just hurt thinking about it. People vote for the dumbest possible reasons. And then you get all super in the weeds and super invested in this stuff. And then you break your own brain over dumb nonsense. Like, I remember these two guys. This was in 2008 when Obama was going to win in a landslide. So this kind of bullshit really wasn't that offensive. But there were like two different sort of leftist third party like chuckleheads running. And this one guy declared that he couldn't vote for one of them because their vice president wasn't ready to take over in a crisis. They had to go with the other ticket. It's like, buddy, if you're arguing like Constitution Party versus Green Party vice presidents, you're so far off the road. Like, don't even worry about it. No one cares. Your vote is ungettable. Just give up.
And I have to wonder now if that guy voted for J.D. Vance.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
To be our next president. He strikes me as a stern but fair commander in chief.
Oh, that guy was sitting there like just sitting thinking to himself, I wasn't really sure about Pence, but I think Trump's turned a corner with this Vance pick, whereas Walls, I think Kamala kind of biffed it. I got my mind made up here. Yeah.
I was like, with him until the hot dish. He lost me on the hot dish.
A mean pick six. Is that what you're trying to sell me, Mr. Walls? You're trying the big lie you're telling me, Mr. Deceiver? Oh, yeah. Like, I remember that was like Joe Rogan's thing back when he was like trying to defend this bullshit, where he was like, look, man, I know Trump did a lot of stuff, but this Tim Walls, he crossed lines. I had to get off the sidelines. I couldn't let a pathological liar like Tim Walls roam the halls of power in America. That would have been unacceptable. That was literally one of Rogan's excuses for being hard on the MAGA train in 2024. Was Tim Walls was a bridge too far, baby. Let me tell you.
Yeah, we can't get an old white guy in the White House.
Oh,
let's
no.
go for Trump.
Yes, exactly. Oh my God. I literally just posted this. Like, some random paste eating MAGA troll posted a wide shot of Trump in his golf cart. And he's like, 79 is the new 39. Trump is aging in reverse. And it's like every photo of Trump from like 20 feet and closer in, it looks like Grandpa ain't going to make it. Let's just put it that way. I mean,
that reminds me of something
President
I noticed.
Benjamin Button.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But we were, I was looking at pictures of that ridiculous statue that is totally not a golden calf that they erected. And I think, was it Mar-a-Lago, that 22-foot gold statue of him?
Yes. And the preacher was like, this is not a golden calf. And it's like, no, it is.
Yeah.
If you have to say that, you're admitting it is.
But then one thing I noticed was, because I saw like most of the shots I saw were wide so they could show, you know, the people fawning over it and everything. But I saw one close up one, and I noticed that in the statue, Trump has a noticeable paunch, and yet he's still a good 100 pounds below what he actually is.
Yeah.
It's like they tried to make it more realistic, but they probably ran out of gold before they could get his true proportions in. I don't like to weight shame, but in his case, I'll make an exception because he's just such a, I mean, for one, he does it constantly. So I feel like I'm punching sideways on this one.
He posted a meme of J.B. Pritzker.
I saw that.
Eating, like, just Pritzker being giantly fat and overweight and having.
And eating McDonald's and KFC, which are Donald Trump's two favorite things on earth.
Right. And he's got like a double cheeseburger in his hands and all this shit. And the thing that's so funny about this is Pritzker's on the GLP-1s. Pritzker's already down a lot. And he's going to be in president shape by the time he announces for 2028.
Yeah.
And J.D. Vance is also hard on the GLP-1s. Like, Vance looks so skinny now. It is, like, almost offensive to be like, buddy, you're not fooling anybody. You saw all the memes of yourself as a shaggy-haired loser, and you thought, you know, I ain't putting up with that anymore. I'm getting on the drugs. I'm dropping weight. I mean,
was it drugs? I thought maybe he was doing some couch aerobics.
Whatever. Hey,
subtle nothing, jab.
Boom. The subtlest. But I mean, me playing the straight man who refuses to take a joke. Like, it's like, hey, man, nothing works except for these drugs, and that's why everyone's taking the drugs now. So
I know. I feel like I'm Abbott, and you're Liam Neeson in Taken.
Right, exactly. I am a terrible, terrible stage partner. Yeah, I'm not Liam Neeson from The Naked Gun. No, I'm the exact opposite. I am a aggressive no and. I won't give the joke any space to breathe.
I was thinking that because the show that Ricky Gervais did, he had Liam Neeson wanted it was him playing himself because Ricky Gervais loves celebrities doing that, and so he said he wanted to do improv, and they're just showing how like. You know, the joke is how painfully unfunny he is. Like, he keeps bringing in cancer, and Ricky Gervais is like, no, there's nothing funny about cancer. You can't bring up cancer during improv.
Right. Yeah. But the one thing that does blow my mind about all this shit is, like, Trump's going to be our last fat president of our lifetimes. Like, we're not going to have a fat president again. Because for the next 20, 30 years, anybody that's going to go for the presidency is either going to be naturally trim or they're going to get on the drugs. So
I'm trying to think about it. We had Taft, we had Grover Cleveland. I would say there's a case we made there, but I'm having trouble thinking of any other like grossly overweight presidents.
No. I mean, Bill Clinton was like 30 pounds overweight and our press treated him like he was King Kong Bundy. They were like, oh my God, this fat Southern pig. Which it's so funny that was their attack against the Democrat president was that he was from the South and he was fat and he was white. And it's that's 90% of Republicans now. Like,
I remember even Saturday Night Live got into it, which shows you how long ago I was watching Saturday Night Live, but they showed him because he was doing this big thing where he was showing how he goes jogging because he was trying to, you know, beat this reputation. So the skit has, I think it was Phil Hartman playing him running into a McDonald's. And then talking about how much he's exercising while grabbing and eating everybody's food around him.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it was, Porker Bill Clinton, and he was chubby. He was
he could stand to lose 20 pounds, but I mean, he wasn't tipping any scales here.
No. And now he's gaunt. I mean, now Bill's like, oh shit. It's like, Bill. Remember how we were making fun of you about the Big Macs before? You could use a couple. You could knock a couple back. Large fry on me, Bill. Don't settle for the medium on me. I'll up you to the large fry. Let's go.
See, he's at that age now where like you stop eating at 4 p.m. You know?
Yeah. And it's like, holy shit. Like, yeah.
I think he's losing weight because they lost their adrenochrome at the pizza parlor.
I was right there. Oh God, man.
That's right. Adrenochrome is notorious for putting on the pounds.
Adrenochrome keeps you in fighting shape. It's like you take your shot of Ozempic, and then you exsanguinate a small child. That's the deep state health routine in the morning, keeping you beautiful, energetic, and trim. That's what it's all about.
That's the coolest word in the world, exsanguinate. I love that word. It's such a great word.
Words that begin with E are great. I love elegance. That's one of my favorite words.
Huh. This one doesn't start with E, but I always liked defenestrate.
Defenestrate's a great word. D's are also good.
Yes. That's such a great, great word. There's in the Weird California book, there's an entry about, I guess there's supposed to be some house in San Francisco that is like an art monument to defenestration, and it's got like clothes hanging out the window and like furniture in the yard or something like that.
I don't know why, but I thought you were going with the Winchester Mystery House at first.
That's not that far from me, and everyone's like, oh, have you been there? And I'm like, I basically know all I need to know about that place, and I'm not paying $50 for a goddamn half-hour tour. So, no, I'm not going.
Well, what if you see her ghost wandering the halls?
Ghosts aren't real, and I've seen ghosts, and I don't believe that they're real.
Wow. That's like when people say that atheists worship Satan. Like those two contradict each other.
I love that so much when people call atheists satanic, and it's just, you do understand I'm not on your chessboard. I don't believe in the white pieces or the black pieces.
Well, like, I mean, no. Richard Dawkins is kind of satanic with the shit he's been saying lately. Well, he's always been problematic. Atheist children brights. Go fuck yourself, Richard.
What do you mean lately? Isn't he dead?
No, he's saying that AI is alive.
He decided that Claude is ensouled, but also Claude is female. So
he's also a turf.
That's what I'm thinking of. The other rabid atheist.
Yeah, I mean, and he, as far as problematic as Hitchens was, he's less problematic than Sam Harris and Richard Dawkins. So, yeah, just, and if you really look at, because I was like really into the atheist stuff, and I've made the correlation between the new atheist movement, a lot of which moved over to the intellectual dark web. But the new atheist movement, and you see this with the guy from Penn and Teller, Penn Jillette, it really fits in with the conspiracy theory mentality, where it's, I'm better than everyone else because I know this thing. And like looking back on it, I'm like, oh my God, so that's why I was so into this new atheist stuff when it was popular. Like, that mentality of I'm better than everyone else because I know this secret knowledge. And it's just, you know, so you can kind of see how the new atheist movement became the intellectual dark web. And you can also see, like looking back on my own life, why I was into that and conspiracy theories. Like, it's the mentality, and atheist isn't supposed to be a mentality. It's just supposed to be a thing.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Eric.
Okay, I was just saying, the thing that always bugged me about Richard Dawkins, I mean, I'm like, I'm kind of live and let live. I'm like, I don't care what you believe in. Just, you know, as long as it's, you know, keep it your business, I'll keep my beliefs my business. But Richard Dawkins would, like, if he spotted somebody with a cross, he would, like, run through traffic to yell at the guy.
Yeah, we went to, I had this atheist sugar daddy who used to send me money and stuff. And it, like, he just liked my writing. He wasn't really a sugar daddy, and he sent me money to attend an atheist convention in Arizona. Like while I was there, when we were checking in at the hotel, the guy at the desk goes, you're okay that there's a Bible in the drawer? And my husband and I were like, yeah, why? They're like, well, we had some complaints. I'm like, Jesus, come on. Seriously, people? Like, if, number one, it's in a drawer, which means that someone had to go in, open that drawer, which no one ever uses because it's right next to the bed. Who uses that drawer? So someone had to go and open the drawer just to find the Bible, just to be a Karen. Like, come on, man. Seriously? You know?
Yeah, some people look for a way to get offended.
Right. That's the thing, is that that kind of atheism was what I defined as, like, prick atheism, where you're this smug asshole who has to go around yucking everybody else's yum, where you're just like, you're idiot. You think there's a God? There isn't a God. There's nothing that happens after you die, you stupid piece of shit. And that's a really not great way of getting converts. That's a really poor way of trying to explain your philosophical position. You're just being a prick. And if you enjoy that part of atheism, then you're not really doing it right. You're not really understanding what's going on here. You, like, for me, I grew up in a unreligious household. I never went to church. I never got into religion. I only read the Bible later in life as a thought exercise, really. In high school, I was kind of like the hero for a lot of people because we had the preachy Christian idiot who ended up being my friend because we were kind of outcasts on opposite sides of the coin. And we would just like fight with each other at lunch all the time about how I was going to burn in hell and how he was a deluded moron. But that was our thing. And my other moment of dealing with religion in high school was this is how atheists should live their lives. And this is how you should deal with these things, is there was this kid in my German class, and he was the coolest kid, had the long flowing black hair. One day he came into school and like plugged an amp in and played an electric guitar. And oh my God, you just see the crowd around him. He was just like the fucking man. And this girl looked at him and asked him about like his take on religion. And he was talking about how his mom was Jewish and his dad was Christian. And he had this like mix of the two philosophies and blah, blah, blah. And she's just like, take me now, you wild stallion, just the whole thing. And she then looks at me, the bridge troll, and is just like, what are your thoughts on religion, Mike? And I told her, I'm like, I'm an atheist. And she's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I don't think there's a God or a heaven or a hell. And she just like flinched. She just reacted so poorly to what I said. And then she just says, that is so wrong. And that's where we should be. Just outcasts who are bad. We're terrible people who think a horrible, blasphemous thing. And just roll with that punch. Just accept it, folks. Don't be a jerk about it. Just be like, hey, this is just the way it is, man.
And now, like, I guess I'm more like, atheist agnostic. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't believe there's
a God. It's meaningless.
I don't
believe... It's an absolutely meaningless thing. I hate people who get hung up on that shit.
And for me now, it's like my dad, like, you know, I made up with my dad and all that. And my dad will be like, I'm praying for you. And I'm like, thank you. And he's like, well, you know, and he always goes, well, you don't believe in that stuff. And I'm like, yes, but I don't need to believe in it. What you are doing is putting good thoughts out for me. I don't have to believe in God. Your prayer is putting good thoughts out.
I was
into the universe, and that's a good thing, and it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I was going to make that same point because, like, I see these people who are like, somebody said God bless me, and I felt so sick. And I'm like, why? They're trying to be nice.
I mean,
you don't have to believe it to be like, oh, thank you for the sentiment, you know?
And, you know, I think every atheist should, like, look up liberation theology, because that's a really fucking great thing. Liberation theology, where, you know, you have, like, Catholic nuns in Central America or South America fighting to liberate the people who are being subjected by CIA run fascist governments, you know, and not CIA run, but, you know, the CIA, like, put them in and
help. It's always the CIA.
It's always, hey, where we go one, we go all, Steph. We're all in this together. We're fighting the deep state.
No, I mean, but no, the CIA meddling in South and Central America is a known fact. I mean, that's an absolute.
And Iran, thank you very much for that, yeah, Kermit, yeah. Roosevelt.
I actually like went into the Iranian wormhole, and it wasn't so much that the West meddled in it. It was mostly that the guy who was was running things started overstepping his boundaries, and the Shah stepped in to squash that shit. I have to find that YouTube video, but it was very interesting because it went through the details, and a lot of the whole CIA did it thing is way overblown, and people trying to toot their own horns and beat their own chest and be like, yeah, we did this. And it's like, actually, you guys kind of fucked off and kind of screwed up, and really, Iran kind of stepped on a bunch of its own rakes in that situation. But blaming America is always, I mean, that's how you get the clicks. That's how you get the eyeballs. That's how you get attention. But yeah, Iran, it was a secular Western kind of nation. And then the Ayatollah revolution, no bueno. And now we're in this fucking rotten kettle of fish. We're in this bad situation. And that's what's not great. It's like suboptimal that we are here now, stuck in a non-war war, because
that we're going to win any moment now.
And
simultaneously, we've already won it.
Yes, it is Schrodinger's war that we have already prevailed in and will also prevail in shortly. Yes. Just this constant bullshit where we're just going back and forth between, yeah, we already beat them, to, yeah, we're going to beat them very soon. And I have a spoiler for everybody. We're not winning, and we're not going to win, because the only way for us to win would be to actually invade, and Trump is too big of a coward to do that. So we're screwed. We're absolutely cooked in this situation. We are literally at the mercy of the Iranians, and it sucks.
And the Saudis, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were going to do Operation Freedom Plus or whatever they were calling it.
Yeah. Operation Trump is God or whatever it's called.
Fuck Saudi Arabia. Those bastards. They helped fund 9/11. Fuck those bastards. Fuck them all. And they bought out EA Games with the help of Jared Kushner. And now they introduced microtransactions in the game. Fuck you, Saudi Arabia, because I have a mod that blocks that. So fuck Saudi Arabia for 9/11. Fuck them for their stance on homosexuality. Fuck them for everything.
I like that The Sims was where the line was crossed.
I was waiting for that too.
my thing is, there was a Sims creator that is taking part in their marketplace where you get a whole whopping 40% of, you know, whatever. But I have a mod that blocks this new marketplace. And so I posted to them on Twitter. I posted a clip of a man who made a phone call from the 105th floor of the South Tower. And he was on the phone as the tower collapsed. I'm like, hey, are you proud to be supporting this shit? Congratulations, bitch.